Hey, welcome to season two of The Protectors. You know what? I think this is going to be my last episode of Always Saying Season Two. We're like 30 episodes into season two, so I'm just going to say The Protectors with Jason Piccolo. And today, my very, very special co-host, Alicia, and we have a great guest on. Yes, we do. Nick Norris. Yeah, he's got a lot of good things to say. First thing we are both going to talk about, and more Nick than me, is the Chuck Heavy Foundation, the C4 Foundation. So, Nick, give us the welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Let's do a little shout out to the C4 Foundation, brother.
C4 Foundation is named after a friend of mine, Charlie Keating IV, that was killed in Mosul a little over 4 years ago. I had the pleasure of working up and deploying with Charlie back in 2009-2010. And after he was killed, his family started the C4 Foundation. And the goal and mission of the C4 Foundation is to strengthen NSW, Navy SEAL families. So we have the centerpiece to the foundation is a 560-acre ranch about an hour and a half from San Diego. And the goal is to get every active duty SEAL family out here on the West Coast to start up to the ranch 2 to 3 times a year to build a connection. Because I'm a firm believer that connection, whether it be between, you know, your brothers that you serve with or between families, is the cornerstone of strength and the foundation as you leave the military and you deal with all the things that veterans deal with, you know, after service in combat. So yeah.
The 2 week departure from service, that they give you a little briefing, or is it 5 days now? I don't even know. It's not enough, and it does not address your family. And, you know, especially if you lost a loved one in war and you're a Gold Star family, but just in general, the NSW and all the other spec ops out there are deploying multiple times a year, regardless if that's for 90 days, 6 months, 7 months, or whatever click you're doing out there. You're getting deployed. You need social interaction. You need bonding with your family. And a multi-acre, 546 acres. I'm bad with numbers.
Yeah, 560-ish, but it's surrounded by like 30,000 plus acres of national forest. So it is a wonderful place. It's magic. I mean, I'm a huge advocate of the outdoors and being in nature. Yes. And that's part of it. That's the magic ingredient.
Yeah, sounds amazing.
It is. And one thing, Alicia, I might have to sponsor Alicia for this one, but for $4 a month, you could donate to the C4 Foundation. It's $4 a month. Nowadays, that's like a coffee and a quarter. It used to be 3 cups of coffee back when I was younger. It used to be 2 cups of coffee, but now it's $4. That's $4. Go to C4 Foundation. We'll put up links to that as well. Thank you.
Yeah, the coolest part about it, you can go to C4Foundation.org or chuckheavy.org. So if you commit to $4 a month at chuckheavy.org, you get a limited edition Chuck Heavy shirt that we're running for the campaign. So pretty good deal. For $48 a year, you get like a $35 t-shirt that no one else can.
That's great.
Yeah, I think Alicia, I see $4 in your future going to the Chuck Heavy Foundation.
Can't wait to get the shirt and support.
On behalf of the protectors, we will put an additional $4. And Alicia, you could text me after this for your shirt size.
Okay.
So Nick, the reason we have you on today is not only have you deployed in service to our country, not only have you sacrificed for our country, and I want to thank you for that. And I do want to talk about what you've done. Now that you're a small business owner and you're building this brand, and I really want to get into that. Overview of your military career?
Absolutely. So I grew up in Chicago, ended up going to the Naval Academy, graduated from the Academy in 03, and I went through SEAL training with class 247 and ended up deploying with SEAL Team 3 in 3 different rotations, so 06, 08, and 2010. And decided after that last deployment as a platoon commander in Afghanistan to come back to shore duty. I was going to be a placeholder before I went off to do other things in the team. So I ran a training command called SEAL Qualification Training. And then my wife became pregnant with our first, my little girl. And that was a catalyst for my exit. And, you know, there's a lot of other things I had going on in my life. But I think between having my child and I experienced the loss of a younger brother as well, which really hit home, was a difficult situation. And it really put life into perspective for me. Made me wanted to be at home with my wife and my daughter. So that was kind of the end of military service and kind of my entrance into the private sector.
I talk to a lot of service members who have left the service, and it's not easy transition to jump into business right away. Your business acumen in the teams is a lot different than what it takes to run a business. What was the first lesson learned you had jumping into the business world?
You know, I think the first major lesson, I would consider it a lesson that still showed in my life 7 years after transitioning, is the importance of people. You know, I think, you know, I knew that I didn't have the business acumen. You know, I can go to school for that and you learn that via experience. But, you know, I think the ability to pick the right people, to continue to surround yourself with good people, and I guess be a little leery and more discerning in those whom you place your trust and confidence in. Mm-hmm. It was extremely easy for me to place trust and confidence in other operators that I was deploying into combat with, because we all went through buds. Your reputation is widely known, whether it be good or bad, mm-hmm. in the SEAL community. And you can place trust blindly. And that's not always the case on the outside. So I've learned a lot of hard lessons in, you know, being an extremely loyal, trusting person, and sometimes having that backfire. But, you know, from those failures and tough lessons, you know, you really glean a lot and grow a lot.
Absolutely. But, you know, you do put a lot of trust in people, and especially sometimes you think someone knows what they're doing, and coming into a new spectrum of business operation, you have to be a little bit leery, and you have to vet people, you know, vet, check their social media and go back more than 3 months and check around before you bring them into that circle of trust. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Getting to know people, right? I mean, yeah. You know, vetting is great, you know, sifting through the intraweb and looking mm-hmm. for all of the things that they've done. But I think it's always been very valuable meeting with people in person. You know, there's no substitution for, especially in this world of remote connection, mm-hmm. texting, video conference. Nothing beats sitting down with somebody, deal or a coffee, and really getting to know who they are as a person, and not just glancing over those personal details.
Exactly.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you on that. And that's actually where my question is going, is just along the lines of connection. And so you mentioned earlier, that's one of the biggest components of what you're doing with your work, is really helping to connect the Navy SEAL members and their families and the community so that they can heal and grow. And so one of the biggest challenges that a lot of our speakers that we've talked about that have come on have been, how do we keep connecting? How do we feel connected during this time of remote everything? Because everything now is on a screen and not in person. And one of the quotes I saw from you is when you talked about talking about grief has been, you know, one is unlocked a lot of happiness for you. And so mm-hmm. I really would just love to hear your advice and your feedback for anyone who's watching this, who's at home and who's been really forced and almost imprisoned by the grief that they're experiencing. And this time alone has just only, you know, exacerbated that. So I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Oh man, I get fired up talking about this because, you know, I have personally gone through my own dark times. Everybody does. And I know I ate a lot of grief throughout my lifetime, both in service and, you know, in loss of family. And, you know, the healthiest thing that I've ever been able to do is is be vulnerable enough to share that grief with people that I'm close to, and be open to listening to people in a non-judgmental way about, you know, the struggles that they're having. I mean, I had it was awesome. The other day I reconnected with a guy that I served with in when I was at the training command, and he was an assaults instructor, and I haven't seen him or talked to him in like 10 years. And I reconnected with him, and when we were able to share openly, and normally it takes one person leading that effort, you know, kind of, you know, putting the armor and being vulnerable and, I guess, you know, willing to be judged to start those conversations. But it opened the door to a very deep conversation and a renewed ship. And, you know, maybe with a guy who, you know, who's just getting out, he's hiring, and, you know, that was something that he expressed to me, is like, hey, I, the last thing I want is to lose the connection that I have with all the guys I'm serving with. And, you know, I told him that the biggest mistake that I made the 5 years after I transitioned was losing connection to the guys that I served with. You know, if I could change anything, it would have been staying in close contact with those guys, picking the phone up every now and then, just having a conversation and just checking in, asking the question, you know, how are you doing? Not how is your business doing? How is your family doing? Like, how are you doing? How do you feel right now? Is everything all good? You know, it's funny, those simple questions can open the door to, you know, a lot of deep connection, and it's cathartic. You know, people really, they glean so much value when able to just let go of some of that grief and stuff that they've been sheltering away from the world.
Yeah, that's super powerful. And I think, you know, we underestimate how far just a simple check-in. I say, I message my friends and they probably get so annoyed, but I say just checking in, which is like a very annoying thing, but really just, how are you? I'm thinking of you. You can have good news, bad news. You don't have to say anything, but just know, like, I care about your well-being. And I think something else that you mentioned there is there's so much power in vulnerability. So Brené Brown, she talks about this in her TED Talk, and she has several books on this, but just showing up and being vulnerable and standing in that vulnerability. And I lost my mom very tragically a couple years ago, and I was getting out of the military, was in a huge transition in my life, and then faced the loss of my mother. And I did what any normal sane person would do, and I started a technology company, literally the opposite of what anybody should do. I just started a business, and I went full into just running as fast as I could go, as far away from that grief as I possibly could. And it's really when I discovered Brené Brown's power of vulnerability that I started to take a step back. And that's when I actually was motivated to write the TED Talk of my own. And so the first time I shared or dealt with my own grief was on a very public stage for the TEDx talk. And, but what happened is I was so nervous to let out what I thought was my biggest secret. And once I did that, I felt an immediate relief of almost like I was opening up my heart to receive that comfort from others. And so my thoughts and my questions to you is, you know, when I think of the Navy SEAL community, I think of the toughest, most badass, just problem solvers, get shit done type of people. How do you take people with that type of mentality and get them to show up and feel powerful and strong, being vulnerable and sharing their grief?
Yeah, I think it takes people that you look up to, that you aspire to be like in the community, to open up themselves. So it's tough, but you know, those first people that are willing to show that vulnerability open the floodgates for people. I mean, that was the number one reason why I made the commitment to speak with Tim Ferriss and open up about my personal struggles, was solely to be a voice that other people can listen to and a catalyst for them to open up and share openly and share, because they can rationalize making that kind of leap of faith, because, you know, myself or other, you know, strong people in the community are willing to be judged. You know, everybody fears judgment. I think that's what keeps people from truly expressing emotions like grief in a vulnerable fashion. And if you can go through life and not fear judgment, you know, you can open up dimensions of your own person that, you know, a lot of people never get to access.
You know, and that brings us up to a conversation we had before we started the show about the influencers and talking about being vulnerable and being genuine and being authentic. You could tell. You could absolutely tell who is and who isn't. And I think the day of the stereotypical influencer is over. People want to hear your story. Yeah. They want to know that Nick had some tough shit that happened in his life and he worked through it. And hey, if Nick could do it, I could do it. They want to know that Alicia, hey, you know what? She just lost the person she idolized and loved so much. And then she went on to succeed. And she does a lot of it, you know, because we all do. We all have the grief. We do a lot of it to drive us forward to get through that grief. But people want to know that. They want to know that they too can get through it. And they want authentic voices.
We're all human beings. You know, we all feel, I don't care who you are, you know, everybody is made of the same kind of blood, bone, muscle, and we all feel grief. We all feel emotion. So, you know, we have to just realize that, you know, we are all the same and we're all connected in that regard. I had a great conversation the other day with a couple of close personal friends about authentic self and false self. And I can speak as a veteran, and I could say that this is probably a major issue that is faced in the veteran community is, you know, we have such a strong identity to who we were as service members. And that is absolutely part of who I am and who I was and who all, you know, these other veterans are. But, you know, I think people become scared of being their true authentic self, because I can tell you personally, you know, I love climbing. I love the outdoors. You know, my wife and my brothers used to laugh at me. They call me like the hippie Navy SEAL because I would be at home in a van, you know, living in Bishop, California, climbing all year long. And I'm a healthy person. And, you know, and I don't, you know, I'm not even out there. I'm not shooting all the time. I'm not wearing tactical gear all the time. Like, you know, I'm wearing a pair of like Patagonia pants and a beanie, you know? So I mean, like just being more comfortable being your authentic self and not being concerned about how you're going to be judged. I mean, that's the authenticity that we all, you know, we want in our lives. That's, we feel most comfortable that way. And, you know, I can't encourage people more, than to really challenge yourself and be a more authentic version of yourself.
Yes. But you're doing a lot more. You're helping out foundations, you're helping out other people, but you also are bringing a product line that is very close to you,
yep.
Protect Life. And yep. The reason I loved it when I first saw it was I'm like, okay, we all, and this is, okay, people, we're talking deodorant here real quick, but growing up, and this is, we'll get into why Nick's here, but growing up, I've always heard like that the deodorant is a devil because all the toxic stuff in it. But then I, thinking about it, is sunscreen, lip balm, and everything else you're putting all over your body. You have no idea what it is. So Nick, and Protect Life, man, let's talk it.
Yeah. So, you know, the mantra with Protect, and our company is, you know, strong yield, are the result of strong routines. And, you know, we want to bring healthy, simple products to market. We have four organic zinc oxide products, you know, speaking of kind of all the stuff you're rubbing all over your body that's toxic. You know, it's something that, you know, I love spending time outdoors. So sunscreen was an easy fit. And, you know, we want to encourage people to spend more time outdoors and be protected in that regard. So that's one component of the brand. The other component, which I'm probably more excited about, because I've been a lifelong user of supplements and a lifelong kind of in a lifelong pursuit of wellness, both physical and mental, is our supplement line. So we have a couple products that are live right now. We have a lion's mane mushroom complex capsule, and we have a vitamin D, K2, B12 tincture. And we will be launching a series of other water additives, so small kind of liquid packs to promote a consistent routine of hydration, because the more water you drink, the healthier you're going to be, the better you're going to sleep, the clearer your thinking's going to be. I drink 32 ounces of water every single morning, and I try to drink 96 plus ounces of water a day. So we figured if we can make supplements that force people to drink more water, they're probably going to feel better. And then, you know, sleep is the other component. You know, we have products that I have personally found help me sleep better. And, you know, if you can figure out sleep, you got the ticket to more clearer thought, healthier lifestyle, because sleep is the root of all evil, or it could be, you know, the best thing that you do for yourself.
That's the truth, brother. Absolutely, man. Especially like everybody out there, young parents, hydrate and sleep when you can. One thing that we learned in the military too is you could sleep anywhere. I used to be able to sleep on the bottom of a track. Yep. Nick, you brought up mushrooms, man. Like everywhere I go now, it's mushrooms. It's like, I love it. I drink, actually, I have a supplement in here with my water that is mushrooms and freeze-dried coconuts and stuff like that. But but mushrooms, man, let's give me the overview of the mushrooms and why they're so important.
So
I know you would live in a van up in
I'm a super earthy, right? You know, I get back to the earth, right? There's a lot of great natural supplements, you know, supplements that are derived from plants, and mushrooms as a whole they contain some of the most powerful compounds for healing and health in the world. And we don't even know kind of a fraction of what we ultimately will discover in time. So lion's mane mushroom specifically was introduced to me probably a year and a half ago. And I have taken it consistently, a gram of it a day for the last year in the morning. And I can tell you that I've noticed a marked difference in, you know, cognitive functioning, you know, just overall kind of like, I call it like neuroconnectivity and central nervous system health. You know, I'm an athlete. I rock climb a lot. And, you know, my ability to be coordinated, to react quickly, and then just to think clearly, intelligently in a very quick manner, it all benefits me, you know, as an athlete, and it benefits me as an entrepreneur. So lion's mane has been a tremendous supplement. So that's why, you know, that was kind of the cornerstone of the supplement line is, hey, I know what works and I know what doesn't for me, but I can tell you I've taken a lot of different supplements in my life. And I have really distilled it down to, you know, lion's mane mushroom, B12, D3, K2 in that tincture format. And then I take fish oil and I do that every single day, no fail. And it's helped me for sure. So I don't know if it's placebo effect that's working. So placebo.
It works, man. It does.
Sometimes
I guarantee
that's
it.
That's all that matters. I love this so much. I'm actually going to steal all of this because I'm somebody who I'm like a very competitive CrossFit athlete. I'm competitive at everything I do. And I literally drink water to sustain myself through my workouts. It sounds silly to say I'm bad at drinking water, but I'm horrible at drinking water. I definitely don't get enough sleep. And especially since we've been in quarantine, I find that, you know, I'm here with the kids all day at home. They're not in school. Yeah. And so I'm working later into the night and not sleeping to make up for that, so I can have time with them during the day. And the gyms are closed, so I don't have this normal water drinking regimen. And I feel it in my brain where I'm not as sharp. Like I said this recently, I'm not as sharp as I used to be. And so just this week, I ordered my vitamin D, my vitamin B. And I was like, you know what? And I've made it a habit of every day to just get out in the sun, to walk, and I actually had my gym. I went and picked up all of my CrossFit equipment from my gym to work out outside. But that's been probably one of my largest struggles since quarantine is just, I'm so bad at drinking water and I'm so bad at that. And I think that something I've been urging a lot of people to do is find a way to reinvent themselves during this quarantine. And so that reinvention for me is how can I get healthier and make myself drink more water. I even ordered a Whoop so I can measure my sleep because I know I'm bad at it.
Yep.
So I think it's so great. Not really a question. This was like feeding off of what you were saying there.
Yeah. I'm a believer in it. Simple routine.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be complicated. I mean, the mantra in the, I guess, as I was raised as a CEO was keep it simple, stupid.
And, yeah, exactly.
I overcomplicated it for most of my life. Now I drink water. I take very simple supplements, which are the ones that we're bringing to market. And I try to sleep better. You know, I really focus. Yeah. And it makes me a better version of myself.
I love naps. I love my little cat naps. I love my 15, 20 minute naps here and there.
I'm not a good napper.
And hydration. Come on. In the Army, that's it. Drink water.
Drink water. Recover.
Yep. Nick, you have a lot of really cool things going on, man. I'm so glad you came on the show. And I'm glad you talked about the C4 Foundation. I knew about it, but I didn't know about it. I just saw a bunch of social media posts and said, hey, you know what? I love supporting organizations like that. So,
yeah, it's all about connection. We are all connected, and we need to embrace that more, love each other and be more vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Probably the last thing you thought you would hear from a former SEAL, but I've really embraced love and connection in my life, and it's gone a long way. So couldn't be a bigger advocate of that.
So what's next for you? What are you excited about right now?
Oh man, I'm just excited to get the brand going. I'm a perpetual entrepreneur, always trying to find success. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're cross-pollinating a lot. You know, I spend a lot of time at the C4 Foundation. So we're bringing a lot of our brand ambassadors, like Mark Healy, who is a partner in Protect Products, is a Yeti athlete. You know, we're getting him involved with the foundation, and it's awesome. It's awesome just to kind of take those, you know, my passion for business and my passion for the work at the C4 Foundation and kind of cross-pollinate. It just makes, you know, I don't have to live my life in a segregated manner, you know, at all.
Well, now you're connected to the Army and the Army and LEO community through us.
I love the Army, and I have a lot of law enforcement friends back in Chicago. You know, most of my time in combat was in service with Army infantry and Marine Corps infantry units. So I have a profound level of respect for both branches of service.
Well, you are definitely part of the community, brother. And I appreciate you coming on, man. I do.
Yeah, no, a total honor. I appreciate you guys having me.
You can find this episode on all major podcast platforms, YouTube, Roku, and now on Amazon Fire TV.